Wages, they grew, kind of a lot. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is the final jobs report of the Obama White House, and it was a bit of a mixed bag. On the one hand, the U.S. gained fewer jobs than expected. 156,000 jobs were added in the U.S., 20 to 30,000 less than economists expected. The unemployment rate ticked up a smidge from 4.7% from 4.6% last month. On the other hand, wages shot up in December, 2.9% over the past year. We haven't seen yearly wage growth like that since 2009. Christopher Lowe joins us to talk about it. He is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Chris, why do you suppose this jobs report was a bit lower than expectations?
Well, the reason December was on the soft side is that retailers and package delivery companies added their seasonal help early this year. So if you look all the way back in September, there was a bigger than normal rise in temp hiring. And now in December, a weaker than normal rise.
One of the bright spots, I think a very bright spot in this jobs report, is the rise in hourly pay.
Absolutely. A 0.4% increase in the month of December to $26 an hour. That lifts the year-on-year rate of wage growth to 2.9%, which is finally comfortably higher than the rate of inflation.
The Fed is no doubt going to be all over this data. What are you hearing from Fed watchers?
This morning, Loretta Mester, who's the president of the Cleveland Fed and known to be particularly nervous about inflation, said she's not worried. She saw this as a decent jobs report consistent with inflation. You know, to me, it sounds like the Fed is very comfortable with this wage growth, which honestly it should be. With wage growth at about 3%, that is a level consistent in the past with inflation.
You know, we went and dug up an old jobs report, the first Obama administration jobs report from January 2009. The numbers were negative 598,000 jobs and a rise in the unemployment rate to 7.6%. Of course, it would go on, eventually reach 10. Here we are, 8 years later.
It is a remarkable turnaround. And wage growth at that time was 2.9% as well. But of course, it was slowing rapidly. And within a few months would be negative, the result of, you know, suddenly this big glut of unemployed. In the 8 years that President Obama's been in office, those people have been put down back to work, and the unemployment rate is back below 5%, which is the kind of conditions you need to start to see people getting decent raises again.
All right. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you, as always.
Thank you.
And shares of Gap, the clothing line, are up 3% after a 10% jump yesterday, sparked by strong December sales. Gap's Old Navy brand had particularly strong growth, and it came as a big surprise to investors who had been alarmed by large drops in sales for some department store brands like Macy's and Kohl's that had sent their stocks down double digits earlier this week. The median price for a home in the San Francisco Bay Area is now around a cool $700,000. But one place sold there recently for 100 cents. KQED's Sam Harnett has the story of the $1 house. It involves explosives.
I'm on a walk with local historian and real estate broker Stephen Lawton.
We're on top of the hill. Here's the San Pablo Bay.
He's showing me where the explosives were.
On the other side of the hill in the valley, it's called the Flats, is where the explosives were produced.
We're on the edge of the bay, 10 miles north of Berkeley, in the suburban city of Hercules. The place gets its name from a large explosives company that moved here back in the 1880s. The $1 house is a relic of that industrial boom.
It's on the National Register of Historic Places as a contributing structure to the only remaining company town of an explosives factory in the United States.
The house is perched on a grassy lot where the city moved it to make way for new housing. It has old-growth redwood timber, ornate wooden siding, and bay windows. The city planned to turn it into a community center using state redevelopment money. But in 2011, Governor Jerry Brown cut those funds. Now Lawton says the city can't even scrounge up 20 grand to demolish the house, let alone fix it. So it went on sale for a dollar.
I mean, it's a little misleading to say it's a house for a dollar. It's not a house for a dollar. It's a project for a dollar.
Where some saw a project, Dimitri Belser saw opportunity, even though the house has no property because it's stranded on a city lot.
My first thought was, this is our house. We have to take this house.
Belser, who lives in Berkeley, restores and then rents out old buildings. He says certain old houses just have a feel. They aren't utilitarian like modern homes. He started saving them as a hobby, but it's paid off. Belser has bought several $1 houses, and real estate is so expensive here, Belser's been able to turn a profit.
Okay, so let's say we move that house someplace around here, and it costs us $300,000 to do it. A $300,001 house is still worth it. In the Bay Area, where can you find that?
Belser wants to keep the house close to Hercules, but he's having trouble finding affordable property. Unlike this historic house, there's no land nearby going for anywhere close to a dollar. In Hercules, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Speaking of price tags, repealing Obamacare has one, apparently. The repeal could add $1 trillion to the national debt in just a few years. Some members of the Conservative Freedom Caucus call it a sacrifice. Others call it just a symbolic number. And Dave Bratt, Republican from Virginia, asks, if you're going to do a symbolic budget resolution, why not put in a good number? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.